guys, welcome to episode number 21 of Let's Book Talk. Today we're speaking with CC Dawson, the author of The Chronicles of Brute Creations. We had a great conversation about not only this book, but about the importance of representation and diversity in storytelling. And we got into so many topics. It was a great, great conversation. So I'm going to stop talking and just let you guys listen to it. So without further ado, here's my conversation with CC Dawson. Enjoy. So as I was getting prepped to speak with you, I was reading a little bit about yourself in your author bio and, you know, how you've spent, 15 years honing your craft and you know, getting really comfortable with your writing and all that sort of stuff. But where did your passion for storytelling come from? How did that all develop for you?
Oh my goodness. So when I was a kid, I was by myself. My siblings, have me by 15 and 10 years. So okay. I spent a lot of time alone. So, you know, of course, playing with your dolls and playing with, you come up with these stories. We're all storytellers.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I played with my dolls a lot and, you know, generated these lifestyles for them and created the stories. And that's kind of how it started. And after that, I remember specifically in like the fifth grade, I used to carry around a composition notebook and I used to jot down all these little notes and ideas that I had in my head. And at the time, I didn't know I was creating stories. I thought it was more like journaling. But it was actually me creating stories about the things I saw around me and creating characters out of people who I knew. So my teacher was this monster and she was always getting me in trouble. So that's how my developing and story loving began.
That's really interesting that you bring up like jotting down those notes, because I just spoke with an author recently where she kind of did the same thing of just writing little pieces of information down on post-it notes and like relying on herself to remember what that stuff was about. And then obviously, like, as you go throughout your day, you might forget, what did this mean? What did that mean? But
exactly.
That's so cool that you did that, because, and I guess we'll just dive into it now. Relatability, for me, is one of like the most important things that I look for when I'm reading, because if I can't connect or relate to the character that I'm supposed to be following, it's hard for me to get invested.
Absolutely.
So like with you, how important is that in your writing and to convey those feelings to the reader of, okay, not only can I root for this person, but I see a lot of what I see not only in myself, but in everyday life that makes me connect to this story.
It's so good that you mentioned that. Relatability is super important to me when I'm writing, because I want everyone to be able to connect to my story just as well as having a diverse character log in my books. Growing up, Potter, I was a major fan of Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, all of these character components. And I did my best to try to relate to them all, you know, what I thought was relatable. But it's really the background story of, you know, kind of that Harry Potter perfect example, him being alone and not having, you know, his parents with him. I know a lot of people can relate to that, especially when you lose your parent, you know, that orphan kind of feel. Or when Star Wars, again, Luke Skywalker, an orphan needing love.
Yeah.
And it's the backdrop of those stories that make it relatable. But when I was reading these stories, not only is that what connected me, but it's also what disconnected me. Because although their backgrounds and their stories, you know, seem relevant to a lot of people, including myself, although I didn't feel, you know, that connection between him being an orphan, but just so much friendship, looking for friendship and just really solid people who I can trust to.
Right.
It was really just about finding someone that looked like me or I can relate to within that story. And that was kind of a little bit of the disconnect, which is when, you know, growing up, I found like, wow, there was a lot of people that didn't look like me. And, you know, and that's why it's important for me now as an author to make sure my stories are relatable, their backstories are relatable, and they're also diverse. So
right.
I want to make sure that the relatability and diversity is there in my books and try to correlate those two together.
And how important do you think that is, especially today, with, you know, something like TikTok, which has given such a huge platform to so many different authors, reaching so many different readers? Like, how important is it, especially today, to have that diversity, have that relatability, and kind of taking it upon yourself to say, I don't see you know, not only myself, but maybe I don't see this group of people being represented in, you know, in this type of art. Why am I going to be the one to do that and to be the person that sort of basically starts that trend?
I think it's 100% vital. We, you know, people think it's just, oh, it's Black. Oh, it's white. Oh, it may be, you know, Asian and Pan-Pacific. It's not any of that. We are all human race and that's it. And we shouldn't just have to pick, okay, this person is going to be Black because I'm African-American. Oh, this person is going to be white because you're white. That to me is taboo because we should be able to write stories that create all elements of all different ethnicities. That's why it's vital that we do that, because we walk the streets and all of us look different.
Yeah.
And that's what we should be representing in our life, but in our books.
Right.
And, you know, personally, it doesn't matter for me, personally speaking, I can only speak for myself, but I try not to see so much in color. And though my ethnicity is important to me and seeing myself as characters in my book, in my book, I have a wealth of diverse characters. And it's also vital because our new generation is coming up and they have to understand where their place is in the world. And they have to be able to see themselves, you know, in sci-fi. They have to be able to see themselves in fantasy. And that's why, for me, like you said, why I'm kind of like leading the charge in that. It's not to say that all my characters are strictly African-American.
Sure.
No, it's not like that for me. I would like to see more lead characters as African-American, but that doesn't mean that having someone of a different ethnic background will be any less important in my book.
Right.
So for me, it's just about kind of like sharing the wealth, saying, okay, well, yes, I have an African-American lead, but don't misunderstand that her best friend is her entire support system, but she's also Caucasian, you know. And I write all different characters, all different backgrounds, and give them all important roles, because there's no such thing as an important character. They're all important.
Right. And actually, let's just dive into your book, The Chronicles of Brute Creations, because I was reading that synopsis and it was so intriguing to me. So I wanted to ask you, like, where did that story idea come about? What was the writing process like? And, you know, if you could take me through how that entire thing came about for you.
Oh my God. Believe it or not, I dreamt about my book before I wrote my book. It was just crazy, one of the crazy things I remember. And the writing process for me was, it was kind of difficult because all this came about when COVID happened. So once COVID hit, you know, I was in a medical field at the time. So I was the only one driving to work in the streets. I will never forget, the streets were completely empty. It looked like Resident Evil. It's just something that you would not believe. And driving to work and, you know, I'm by myself. I'm in the hospital. So I kind of have nothing but time on my hands, because all procedures, unless they were really important, had to cease. We were preparing rooms for patients to come in and be sick, possibly die within our care, because we didn't know how to tackle COVID. And my mindset, just to get out of that grief and angst mindset, I said, okay, what I'm going to do, I'll just start writing what I dreamt about last night, believe it or not. And that, just to get my mindset out of what was really happening in the world around me. I was scared to death I was going to catch it and bring it home, you know, to my kids at the time. And my baby was so little. So that fear, you know, just being scared, I said, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and write, get my mind from being here to somewhere else. And that process really helped, you know, my mental health, because I was sitting there. And that's why I'm such an advocate for mental health, because writing that story really saved my mind from thinking dark, terrible things that was actually happening around us at the time.
Yeah.
And that writing process, I would write a little bit each day. Each day I would write a little bit and I would listen to music. And what inspired, like, I had a playlist of inspirational music, and 50 Shades of Grey
okay.
was my inspiration. And then I took some from The Transporter and all these different movies I took from to create a playlist that kind of inspired me to write more. And I was just writing every single day, and it was very helpful. And no, I was not writing on the clock. I was using my lunch break just in case anybody was hungry. But I would use my lunch break and personal time to go ahead and write this story that sat in my head. And every night I would get a new idea. Every night I would jot it down in my phone. I would wake up out of my sleep in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, write it on my notepad before I forget. And then I would just add it on. And then it became this thing in my hand. I said, oh my God, I wrote a book.
Yeah.
And I was so excited. And it's my baby. And I love my book.
That's really cool that you bring up, you know, which is also super relatable for everybody that has gone through, you know, the last 4 years of dealing with COVID. And obviously when it first happened, I was working at Disney at the time. I live here in Orlando. So I was there the day that they were like, all right, the parks are closing, everybody go home. And it was like, okay, what's going to happen now? When are we going to reopen? Blah, blah, blah. And same thing, you drove near the parks and it was, nothing was going on. And that was like super weird because I mean, it's Disney. Everything is going on all the time. But for you to use that, not only to save your mental health, but also using that period of, you know, stillness basically in the world to be like, okay, I'm going to do this, and to have done it is awesome. So to talk a bit about, you know, the book itself, blending romance and science fiction, what is that like? And what is it about those genres that appeals to you?
So I've always, like, even the books I mentioned previously that I was interested growing up is just what I've always gravitated to. Like my dad, he always made sure that I was into some type of sci-fi fantasy realm. I watched Lord of the Rings for the first time with him. I watched The Matrix for the first time with him. I watched Star Wars for the first time with him. And mind you, I was like 10 for the first time I saw Star Wars. I was like, this is not it. This is terrible. But it was The Empire Strikes Back, which is my dad's favorite movie. And it's that one scene where he goes, search your feelings. Luke, I am your father. Yeah. I said, this is magic. And from there, I have been in love with anything sci-fi, fantasy related. And that's natural for me. But I'm also a lover at heart. And I, you know, Jane Austen, Eric Jerome Dickey, N.K. Jemisin, these are people who incorporate sci-fi. Some are sci-fi writers and some are writers of love. And I absolutely adore Jane Austen books. I just, you know, super big on Bridgerton right now.
Yeah.
So anything that has a romance background, and I just took both of my loves and put them together. Did I know it was going to happen like that? No. But from my early childhood and, you know, what I've been nurtured in, and what I personally love growing up, you know, just being in love with love and the idea of love, I just took those and put it together unknowingly. I didn't even know what I was writing. And sometimes I guess it could be like that. I didn't even know what I was writing until I actually wrote it and I looked at it and I went back through it, cleaned it up some, made sure it made sense. But it ultimately, at the heart of this sci-fi story is a love story. And this love story is just, it just screams like that first love, that feeling, that overwhelming experience of, oh my God, what is this?
Yeah.
And I wanted to capture that, but I also kind of like that upbeat, action-packed kind of spirit of a book. So that's why when people say, what's your book like? Or what is it most relatable to? I think of Veronica Roth, the Divergent series, because like I said, it has factions, it's action-packed, but at the heart of the story, it's a love story.
Yeah. Now, with those inspirations that you mentioned, have they informed your writing style at all, like the Jane Austen and the other authors you mentioned?
Yes.
Awesome.
100%. they definitely, the writing styles for sure. I'm a very descriptive writer, and I find that so is N.K. Jemisin. She's a descriptive writer, and she also has a psychology background. She's also African-American like myself, and she's also a sci-fi writer. She really doesn't do romance, but she does sci-fi, and she does it well. So if I had to compare like a writing style in that regard, it would have to be hers, N.K. Jemisin, because she's so descriptive. Is like you're living within the book itself. It's just, you could close your eyes and imagine every word jumping off the page.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned your psychology background. How has that helped you as a storyteller as well?
Yes. So I have a bachelor's in psychology, and honestly, it helps tremendously because it allows me to look at things differently, especially from a marketing standpoint. It's it's easy to write when you want to know what others are thinking, but it allows me to be able to market correctly to the right target audience and be able to know and understand what my reader is thinking, what my reader expectations are, and how to meet those expectations. It just allows a little bit more insight on how people can interpret certain things when they read it, especially like the cover of the book. I don't know if you've ever heard, like, the cover of the book is everything. Mm-hmm. And when they say don't judge a book by its cover, that's a lie. People judge. And the colors mean everything. It's the psychology of color. So depending on the color of the book, it'll attract certain type of readers. So black is like mystery. Red is for like, you know, passion, or like gold, and red is like fantasy. Mm-hmm. So when you see a lot of fantasy book, perfect. Fourth Wing, it's gold.
Yeah.
So when you're reading a lot of fantasy, it has like that kind of goldish trim to it. Mm-hmm. So it plays a trick on the mind. So that it does help to understand how your readers think.
Yeah. And now that you mention it, I'm looking at my bookshelf and I'm like, yeah, that makes a ton of sense, because each one, you just listed them all. Yeah, that's totally right. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I have to figure too, with that background, not only in the marketing sense, but also with just the way people interact with different types of stories, especially now with social media, we have the ability to see, okay, they connected with this story for, you know, X, Y, and Z reasons. They didn't connect with this one for X, Y, and Z reasons. Does that help you at all as well? Not only when you're writing a book, but maybe developing a story of saying, okay, this might not land, but if it's something that you want to do, you'll still, you know, see it through.
I mean, yeah, like social media definitely, Book Talk has definitely put a lot of writers on the map, a lot of indie mm-hmm. authors on the map, even indie publishers on the map. I think it's great. I love it, but also it kind of works against the grain a little bit, because everything is so accessible and, you know, people can just read 2 seconds and be done with it, rather actually having to get up and go out to Barnes and Nobles or a bookstore and sit there and read the background. People are judging things in 2.5 seconds, 1.5 seconds. So I love the idea of using my Book Talk. I use my Book Talk. That's how I connect with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's great if you know how to utilize it correctly.
Right.
And if you don't know how to utilize it, it could kind of be your worst enemy, because you put something out there and with the expectation of getting it back, it puts a lot of indie authors back on their behind, because they're like, that's not the response I was expecting. And it makes them feel bad about their writing, and it makes them kind of feel less than. And I only know that because I've experienced that myself. So I know, as great as it can be, it's a double-edged sword, because when you don't get that traction you want, if you don't get that feedback you want, and you realize you didn't sell any books or possibly one book, and you worked day and night on this book, and you spent money on editing on this book and making sure everything is tip-top shape, and no one wants to purchase it because, you know, this person knows all the right people and has everybody flooding. They know the algorithm and know how to play it a little bit.
Right.
Especially for our older authors, they don't know anything about the algorithm and how to utilize it and SEOs and anything like that. Yeah. So it's really a double-edged sword. I mean, forever who can utilize it, amazing resource. Whoever can't, it's a struggle, because we are technology-based now.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I'm in the world of PR, so I've helped so many clients, you know, try to get their message out there to the media, trying to figure out what lands. So many things aren't a success. It is insane. And when you hit the one thing that is, like, a light bulb goes off, but you have to, like, it's still not easy to figure out why that hit. And I've been in, you know, I was a journalist for a while. I got into PR, and it's still a struggle, you know, and I can't even imagine what you just said, you know, dealing with the algorithm, trying to figure out how to use these tools effectively. But then you have that success story of you finish your book, you get it published, a bunch of people are reading it, and you get that feedback that you're looking for. So with you and finishing this book, getting it released, what was that feeling like for you of reaching that finish line of publishing the story and getting it into the hands of readers?
Oh my God, it's really, because when you finish writing a book, it's like having a baby. It's like, oh my God, it's finally here. Like, I
Yeah.
did this. I did this. It's such a sense of accomplishment that you feel. It's really hard to put into words because it's so many different things that you feel at once. And because I'm re-releasing it down the road, whether that be self-published or someone else picks it up, either way, I'm enjoying this journey because I learned so many lessons. Because, as authors, especially when you're young and naive, there's some things you don't know. And
Right.
this process has taught me so much. And with good, bad, ugly, and different, I am so grateful that I was blessed with a gift to be able to write and create a story that people actually liked and people actually loved. And for me, that's all I could ever want or ever dream about, because it's something legacy-wise I leave behind for my kids. But I know I did something here on this earth. It's proof
Yeah.
I was here. And
Yep.
that for me is something that no one can ever take away from me. So
Yeah.
it's just an overwhelming experience of pure joy, happiness, humility, and triumph. It's so many descriptive words I can use for that moment of when it was complete. But I'm just really proud of myself. I'm proud of
Yeah.
myself because I stuck through it. I finished it. I have writer's block sometimes. I couldn't get past around it. I was a mom. I was in school. There were so many things going on in my life, but I dedicated energy and time into this piece, and it will forever be a part of me and who I am. So I'm absolutely enamored
That's
with
awesome.
the
And I
process.
love and I love what you said about, facing the writer's block, probably facing those, roadblocks of trying to get the story finished that I'm sure a lot of authors deal with, no matter how successful or if they're just starting out. What advice do you have for authors that are in that situation of either trying to finish their story, trying to start it, and are just hitting this consistent wall of whether it be self-doubt, whether it be fear that it might not be good enough for not only an audience, but for them personally? What would you tell them to just stick with it and just write it, no matter how it turns out?
Absolutely, you have to stick with it. And the biggest part of any human being on this planet is changing your mindset. And
Yeah.
change that's difficult because you get stuck and caught in your thought process and who you are. And you got to change your mindset when it comes down to your writing, especially because if you get caught in this pattern of what if nobody likes it? What if nobody wants to read it? What if nobody, a traditional publisher, doesn't pick it up? What if it's not good enough? That is such a hard mindset to get out of,
Yeah.
because when you're in a writing world, it really is about the opinion of others. Whether you write the book or not, someone's going to have an opinion about it. Oh, did you finish your book? Oh, you didn't.
Right.
There's always that side of it. Or when you tell someone you're writing a book, or when you finish writing a book, oh, nobody picked it up, huh? Tough luck.
Yeah.
Like, there's always going to be a naysayer whether you write the book or not. So you might as well just go ahead and write it. And do it, don't do it for anybody, but do it for yourself. Do not get into writing for money. Do it because it is your passion and you love it. Just pen to paper and go. If you have writer's block, take yourself out of your current environment and go somewhere else that you never go. Find ways to inspire yourself. I end up glass blowing and axe throwing and learning how to do that because I wanted to learn, so get out of this mindset of coming home, sitting at the table, putting my computer up, getting my humidifier, lighting my incense, getting in the zone. I had
Yeah.
come so equipped to doing that regimen, it wasn't really inspiring me to do anything else or write any more pages. And I was just sitting at the computer, just blank stare, white screen. I'm like, all right, come on, you
Yeah.
could do it. And I'm like, you know what? This isn't working for me anymore. Got up, I got in a car, I drove to Starbucks, got a coffee, I went to the beach, I walked down a boardwalk, I watched the waves come in, and I just sat there and I drank my coffee because it was chilly outside and I was just waiting for something to come. It didn't come right then and then, but by the time I got home and I took my shower and I felt relieved and I sat in bed, I was like, idea. It just went and started
Yeah.
writing. And I just went out and I just did something and I left it. I let it sit. And sometimes you have to do that. You have to let your book sit for a little bit before you could come back to it. To wrap it all up, that would be my advice.
Yeah, no, that is fantastic advice because you are so right. I think a lot of the time, and this can be with anything, you just get so stuck in a routine that, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, nothing new came to you if you're just doing the same thing all the time. So I think that is absolutely correct. And, you know, I'm sure that a lot of people will take that advice and maybe go walk on the beach or go take a drive somewhere, just be out of that environment to see if that spurs something new.
Absolutely.
But Cece, this has been such a great conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Before I let you go, though, if you could just tell people where they can find you online, where they can find your books, and if there's anything else you're working on at the moment that people can keep an eye out for.
Absolutely. All my social media sites, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook is author Cece Dawson. My website is authorccdawson.com. And if you go to www.authorccdawson.com, you can find pretty much all my new projects, what I'm working on currently, which is called Dark Essence. It's more of a fantasy-based book. I'm really excited about that book. But the Chronicles of Creations release will be on my website, and I will be letting people know when that book is going to come back out, and have more information on that in the upcoming future. But yes, thank you so much for having me yet again. I look forward to keeping you updated as well where Brew Creations goes and my new project I'm working on, Dark Essence, goes.
Awesome. Well, Cece, I'd love to have you back to talk about that book when it's out. So definitely we'll be reaching out. And guys, thank you so much for listening. Everything that Cece just mentioned, I'll have links for you guys in the description of the episode. Make sure to follow Cece on all socials. Keep an eye out for everything she's got going on. So again, thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Thank you.